Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I don't like it. I love it, love it, love it. Uh-oh. So good it hurts. I don't want it. I gotta have it. Uh-oh. When I can't find the words, I just go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Witching Hour, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say that again. It's 1-347-637-3220. The place to be if you want to talk to JT, the Master, and you know, at this time, that would be me. Got a great show in store for you today. You know what's going on today, right? Breaking down week 12 in fantasy football. We're getting closer to the fantasy playoffs. Hopefully you are alive and well in getting there. And hopefully I can give you some more tips. And it'll make you feel that much better about your position in your league. And hope you like it. Hope you love it. Feeling upbeat today. It's a nice, bright, sunny day on the East Coast. Great day in the country, if I'm not mistaken, for football. Whether you're East Coast, West Coast, South, or up in the North, it is what it is. Hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving weekend. A day to give thanks. And you always give thanks regardless of what day it is. Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend is a day to spend that one of the special days you spend with your family. And things that you like and love. I'll be right back.
I love it, love it, love it. Uh-oh. So good it hurts. I don't want it. I gotta have it. Uh-oh. When I can't find the words, I just go. I don't like it. No, I love it.
All right, all right, all right. Hope you liked it. Hope you loved it. Like I said, we're doing week 12 in the fantasy football. And for most leagues, you got this week and next week to get into the playoffs. Others, believe it or not, I'm in the one league that next week starts the playoffs because each round is 2 weeks. And luckily, with a little bit of luck, and I always say it, you got to be, you got to know your stuff in fantasy football, but you also have to be lucky, because just because you put the right players out there doesn't necessarily mean that those players are going to perform or stay healthy from week to week. So put your best foot forward and you hope and pray at the end of the day that the players you put out there can do that. Stay healthy. And rack up some points for you so you can get that ever elusive weekly win. All right. All right. So without further ado, there's no teams on a bye. So it's a full slate other than the teams that played on Thanksgiving, which was Minnesota at Detroit, with Detroit winning that game. Excuse me. Washington at Dallas, with Dallas winning that game, Pittsburgh winning that game. So we have 12 games that we're going to be talking about. 13 games. Three games are played. We got 13 games. We're going to try to cover all of them this morning, breaking them all down, trying to give you game day inactives, injuries, or whatever else. For the most part, the weather is supposed to be a typical in places like on the East Coast or in the middle part of the country. Quite naturally, the temperature is not going to be like if it's in Southern California or somewhere down south in Florida. Or inside, quite naturally, if you're playing inside a dome, that's ideal conditions. But for the most part, we got ideal football weather conditions. How about that? First one up on the slate, two high-powered offenses. One struggling, the other's been just moving along quite naturally, moving along at a very good pace. Talking about the Arizona Cardinals and the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Should be a pretty high-scoring game, probably one of the highest-scoring games of the weekend. Arizona Cardinals are fighting for the proverbial playoff life. Really can't afford to lose another game. They're 4-5-1, 1-3 on the road. Now, they were 13-3. 12-4, 13-3 last year. And they've already lost more games, quite naturally. They got 5 losses than they did all last year, including the debacle they had. So if you include the debacle, they had only 4 losses last year. 4. And they got 5 already. And went in that ever lingering tie sitting there too. So 4-5-1, like I said. Falcons are riding high on top of their division. 6-4, 2-2 at home. Like I said, the Falcons need this. They've only played 4 road games and could only beat the 49ers. And they had a struggle, if you saw that game, to do that. Now, it's a no-brainer playing David Johnson. That's a no-brainer. That's if you got him, he's matchup proof. Let me put it that way. And I would have to say the same thing for Larry Fitzgerald. He's matchup proof. He plays in the slot. Carson Palmer's go-to guy, and week in and week out, regardless of what age he is, he brings it each and every week. And I would have to tell you this, that's a no-brainer. Now, what about Michael Floyd? What about J.J. Nelson and John Brown? There's no prize, so you got a full slate of whatever you have on your team. And maybe you don't think about playing J.J. Nelson. Maybe you don't need to play him. You sit him on the bench. Well, I suggest that you pick up and all according who's available, whether it's J.J. Nelson or John Brown. You got to have somebody else that needs to step up in this passing game. And I would think in this game, other than if you look at the Cardinals' schedule, it gets a little tough. But this game, with a defense that gives up plays in the passing, that Carson Palmer is a good play. I know he's been inconsistent, and you may not have a may have a better option, but if you do, or if you don't, I should say, I could trust. Well, this is probably one of the few games left in the season that I would be comfortable in playing Carson Palmer. Larry Fitzgerald is a no-brainer. But like I said, what are you talking about, the Michael Floyd, John Brown, and J.J. Nelson? Flip the coin. Flip a coin. One of them sitting on a waiver wire. Been changed. Unless I back on the news. Last I heard, J.J. Nelson was the number two receiver in that Cardinals offense. So I'm telling you that in a flex, wide receiver 3-4 definitely, you could play a J.J. Nelson, because I think there's going to be a lot of points and a lot of fantasy points to be had. And I think the speedy J.J. Nelson, other than Larry Fitzgerald in the wide receivers for the Cardinals, is the place, way to go. Now, this is a tough Arizona defense with Patrick Peterson shadowing Julio Jones. It's always been, it's already been established that Patrick Peterson will be renewing their college matchup or rival, so to speak. Patrick Peterson came from LSU, Julio Jones from Alabama. They used to play against each other when they were in college, and quite naturally, when they play the teams play each other, they're going to renew that rivalry between each other, between the DB, cornerback, and the wide receiver. So, but Julio Jones, that's a no-brainer. You got to play him. Julio's going to get hit because Matt Ryan is going to be thrown to him, and he's a no-brainer also in this. What the other matchups? I would think that Arizona is third against the quarterback position, first against the running back, sixth against the wide receiver, and one, number one, against the tight end position. So Arizona's got a good defense. It's the offense that needs to show up. And if the offense shows up, this, like I said, this is going to be a, in my opinion, a shootout. And that means you try to get as many guys in here that's, makes sense. So if you have Tevin Coleman, I would put him in here. If you don't have, quite naturally, the running back position has been depleted. So, and most people who have running backs now aren't giving them away, aren't dropping them to put them on a free agent or waiver wire. So you got to make do with what you have or what you picked up. Hopefully you've been paying attention and you picked up some backs that you could use. Or you haven't dropped them because they gotten a couple bad weeks or injured and coming back from injury like Tevin Coleman. Then you play Tevin Coleman. You put Tevin Coleman because I'm telling you there's going to be fantasy goodness in players that make sense in this game. And quite naturally, Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones, a sleeper in here. There's two sleepers, in my opinion. One that makes sense, and the other one maybe a reach for whatever reason. The reach I'm going to give you is Austin Hooper. The reason I'm saying that is that even though that Arizona defends the tight end position quite well, Jacob Tammy, who's the normal starting tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, is out for the rest of the season. And Austin Hooper and Laviae Toliolo share the load in the receiving duties in the tight end position. I like Hooper, and he scored twice already this year. and he's under the radar, and this may be his coming out party. You never know. So just think about that. The other guy is not so much of a sleeper, is Taylor Gabriel. The last three games, he's had a touchdown and decent yardage, and he's been turning in around 60 yards in those games, and I think he can do that again. Between 40 and 60 yards with a few catches, especially in PPR, with a touchdown. So those are two sleepers in that game. Let's move on to the Cincinnati and Baltimore game, which the hard times has befallen the Cincinnati Bengals. Not the same type of defense that you saw last year. Not the same type of offensive game that they had last year. Gone is Marvin Jones. Gone is Mohamed Sanu. Gone is from injury now, A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard. So you have options and guys that need to step up in against the defense. That's 15th against the quarterback, 2nd against the running back, 28th against the wide receiver, and 2nd against the tight end position in the Baltimore Ravens. So you're going to ask more of Tyler Boyd. You're going to ask more of Brandon LaFell. Quite naturally, you're going to ask more of Tyler Eifert. And you got Jeremy Hill as the only running back. Sleeper in here, people. I know Baltimore is 2nd in preventing fantasy points against the running back position, but you got to have somebody else other than Jeremy Hill to run the football. How about Rex Burkhardt? Burkhead. If you're hurting for a running back, it can't hurt to put in somebody like Rex Burkhead. Tyler Boyd is going to be the number one wide receiver. He's going to get a lot of looks because that's what their weakest point of the Baltimore Ravens is, defending against the wide receiver. And Tyler Boyd has to step up. Brandon LaFell has to step up. Tyler Eifert should get a bump up even more than he had before. So there are viable plays from a 3-6-1 Bengals team who happen to be on a loser streak and are only 1-4 on the road. The Ravens are fighting with the Pittsburgh Steelers to be relevant in the AFC North. Pittsburgh Steelers have already gotten their 6th win. The Ravens are 5-5, like I said, and need to get that 6th win to keep pace with the Steelers. And the Ravens are 3-2 at home and pretty healthy right now against a really, really Cincinnati Bengals. Marvin Lewis, in my opinion, Marvin Lewis, this is his last year. I thought it was going to be last year. When quite naturally they didn't win a playoff game, but they won't even get to the playoffs this time. They won't even get to the playoffs. Cincinnati won the division last year, and they won't even get to the playoffs this year. No way. With the kind of competition and kind of records that the AFC, a lot of AFC teams have, look at what's going on in the AFC West. Look what's going on, maybe not so much in the AFC South, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you got to believe that the changes are going to be made. Changes are going to be made in Cincinnati. Who? Don't know, but Marvin Lewis has gone over a decade without winning a playoff game. Sooner or later, you got to cut the tie and move on and get a new face and new voice in there. And I think Marvin Lewis is going to be asked or to move on. Let's move on over to the Baltimore side of it. You know, and I'm not a really big Baltimore, especially a Joe Flacco fan. But Joe Flacco plays better at home, especially against a Cincinnati team that's 26th against the quarterback, 20th against the running back, 7th against the wide receiver, and 29th against the tight end position and preventing fantasy points. So if you have Joe Flacco, you didn't have Andrew Luck for whatever reason. I mean, because he got hurt, and you didn't feel like playing Tolzien. Flacco is your backup or whatever. I like him in this game. Terrence West should be able to run and is a viable play in here. To me, I wouldn't say it's a no-brainer, but he's a viable play. A no-brainer for me in this game against this defense that, like I said, is even though they're seventh against the wide receiver position, the defense is just not the same, and I would definitely play Steve Smith. Steve Smith is back healthy, and that is Flacco's guy that he likes to work in the middle of the field besides Dennis Pitta, who I like in this game also because, like I said, Cincinnati is 29th in preventing fantasy points against the tight end position. And Mike Wallace. I've never been a big Mike Wallace fan because all Mike Wallace does is a nine route. Now, Joe Flacco has a big arm, but Mike Wallace has only scored once since week two. Only once since week two. That's what you get with Mike Wallace. And I'm not a big Mike Wallace fan. Play him at your peril. Let me put it that way. If you want high risk, high reward, then Mike Wallace is your guy. All right, let's move on to another game that we're going to go with here. A tale of two teams heading two different ways. And 2-8 Jaguars, 2-8 Jaguars are on a 5-game losing streak. Are 1-4 in on the road, and the Bills, who are 2-2 at home, and are hosting the Jaguars, and are 5-5, and playing for their playoff lives. And Rex needs this. Rex needs to get into the playoffs, or otherwise, he's another guy that I think won't have a job because he's had the pieces. I know that some of these wide receivers. And recently, the running backs, Gillespie is not going to be playing. He's got a hamstring, Mike Gillespie. And Robert Woods is out with a knee sprain. And they brought Percy Harvin back. And Sammy Watkins is supposed to be activated. And Julius Thomas is out with a back injury. And I'm giving you all these. T.J. Yeldon never practiced and not expected to play. So that's a bump up for Chris Ivory. And, yes, I think Chris Ivory is a viable play here. Buffalo's is 12th against the running, 12th against the quarterback, 19th against the running back, 12th against the wide receiver, and 12th against the tight end, preventing fantasy points from the opposition. Is Blake Bortles a good play? I told you earlier in the season, early before the season started, I wasn't a big Blake Bortles fan, and I think he just proven what I've assumed. He's not the person. He's not the franchise quarterback. He's a junk quarterback. When you need to make up points, and points are good in fantasy. And I don't like Blake Bortles in this matchup. Not at all. I do like Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee, who's been really out producing Allen Hurns in the wide receiver position. And so there's three guys that I like on here. Chris Ivory, who I think is a good RB2. Marquise Lee, who I think is a wide receiver 3-4. And Allen Robinson, who I think is a wide receiver 2-3. Somewhere around there. You got to throw it to somebody. And like I said, the top 12... I'm talking about Buffalo in preventing fantasy points against the wide receivers. But I think at least those two wide receivers, Marquise Lee, especially in PPR, are going to be able to produce for you. On the other side, I do like Tyrod Taylor in this matchup. I know the Jacksonville Jaguars are 6th in the quarterback preventing fantasy points, 12th against the running back, 9th against the wide receiver, and 12th against the tight end position. Now, that you know, they're in all four of those positions. They're at least either in the top 10, and you're saying play this. Yes, I'm saying playing. Mike Gillisley is not going to be playing, okay? And I know that LeSean McCoy had a thumb surgery, but supposedly it's been the upper part of the thumb. It's not the whole thumb. It's the upper part of the thumb that he had minor surgery on. So, and it's not on his dominant hand. Not on his right hand. It's not on his right hand. It's on his left hand. So, I think he will fare well, and he's going to be used early and often in there. That's their best player. And I told you ever since earlier in the season when they changed offensive coordinators that LeSean McCoy was a player to get. And he hasn't proven me wrong other than the times that he's gotten hurt. But the time he's in there and you know he's healthy, he's been balling out. And he doesn't get as much respect as he should. He's top 10 in the running back position, especially in PPR. Top 10, remember that. 10-team league, he's definitely a starting running back. And for most people, a lot of people, he's probably their main running back. And you probably got him cheaper, like I did in a lot of leagues. Because he's like an afterthought. The buzzwords with Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. Those were the top three guys. Maybe Eddie Lacy is sitting in there too. But and LeSean McCoy, for the most part, wasn't that high, I wouldn't say high profile name, but didn't get that same type of respect. It is what it is. Definite play, no brainer. Matchup proof, LeSean McCoy. After that, ain't happened. I mean, you got a potpourri of wide receivers, and there's no one guaranteed, except for maybe Marquise Goodwin, to get enough targets equal opportunity, especially in a wide receiver and in the tight end position also. Is Marquise Goodwin. Because you got Percy Harvin that is trying to get into football shape for whatever reason. And Brandon Tate. Robert Wood, I guess, is out. It is what it is. All right, let's move on to another matchup here. And this should be a no-brainer. and in my opinion, one of the best defensive streamers that you can do is pick up Buffalo and play him against Jacksonville. Blake Bortles is a turnover machine waiting to happen, or turnover waiting to happen, I should say. The next defense that I suggest you put out there. And probably my second or either the second or first defense to pick up is the Tennessee Titans, who are traveling to the Windy City to play the Jay Cutler list, who's not going to be playing. Eddie Royal, who for all intents and purposes will not be playing because he hasn't practiced all week. And no Alshon Jeffrey because he's suspended. So pick up and play with confidence the Tennessee Titans defense. They're 5-6. They're fighting for their playoff lives. I think they're second in the AFC South, if I'm not mistaken. 2-3 on the road. But the Bears are 2-8 and have lost their last two and are just 2-2 at home. They're not world beaters. They only won two games. And those two games happened to be at home. Well, not necessarily at home, but I mean, just they're two and two at home. Anyway, Marcus Mariota has been hot, and I probably think that you're going to play him, even though, and I run this down, the Chicago Bears are 13th against the quarterback, 4th against the running back, 30th against the wide receiver, and 9th against the tight end position, preventing fantasy points. But Delanie Walker is a no-brainer play. Rishard Matthews, in my opinion, against this Chicago defense, is a no-brainer play to me. Right along with DeMarco Murray and Marcus Mariota. And if you want to take a flyer, if you're looking for a sleeper, if you're looking for somebody to put in your flex, you don't have any other good options for whatever reason, anything that could have any reason. Tajae Sharp, who was popular in the early part of the season and preseason, kind of tapered off, is now now a viable option and should be used if you have something available for him. Who do you play in Chicago, who now they're looking at Matt Barkley to lead them, with Jordan Howard being the best player? Their best player is Jordan Howard, who happens to be a rookie. Cameron Meredith, who's going to be the go-to main wide receiver. That's why I'm telling you Tennessee defense is a strong play, in my opinion. Extremely strong play. All right. Let's move on to the next game, which would be, and this can be a trap game. And for you Giant fans, let's hope Eli and company show up and don't let the Cleveland Browns show out in this game. Giants are 7-3, 2-2 on the road, but the Browns are winless. They're 0-10, and all bets are off. They're scrambling to get a win, especially at home. The Browns are hoping to catch someone sleeping at the wheel, especially at home, and think that the Browns can be taken for granted. But I do like Eli in this because the Browns are 29th against the quarterback, 31st against the running back, 25th against the wide receiver, and 32nd against the tight end position, preventing fantasy points. So it should be fantasy goodness for Rashard Jennings, who's made a resurgence back, probably healthy now, primary running back, is going to get a heavy workload and run against the Cleveland Browns. Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, no-brainers. These two guys are no-brainers. More so, quite naturally, Odell Beckham over Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard can be used as a definitely as a flex. He's going to get looks. Eli loves Sterling Shepard, and it's obvious that he's going to be used. It was obvious from this day, from the beginning of the season until now, that he's the number two wide receiver, and he's going to be used extensively. A lot, because this is a passing offense. Passing offense. Ben McAdoo, offense is a passing offense, and we'll put to use both of these wide receivers. Hell of a tandem these guys are, and they're young, and they're only going to get better as they get more and more into their NFL career. Let's look on the Cleveland side of the ball. Who do you play over here? Gary Barnidge, I see he picked up. He hasn't done so much. But the New York Giants are number two against the quarterback position, 14th against the running back, 10th against the wide receiver, 18th against the tight end position. The one position that they're weakest at, if you want to call it that, is the tight end position. And Josh McGowan is in playing quarterback. And when Gary Barnidge excelled is when Josh McGowan was the quarterback. and I expect that to be the case playing the New York Giants at home. So you want a very good tight end with a ton of upside. I like Gary Barnidge. Terrell Pryor is a wide receiver too. Definitely a flex position type of play. He's going to be used a lot. He's their main wide receiver. And in the running backs, I know you got some of you have one of these running backs, and is Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I say they are. You can use them. I mean, you're probably not going to get a lot out of them, because as the season's going on, the Giants have played the running back position that much better. So I like the, if you got to play him, you got to play him. But don't temper your expectations on both of these running backs. All right, let's move on to another position. Another game that should be it's a very interesting game. Reason being that is it's the 4-6 Chargers who are coming off their bye. They had their bye last. They're one of the teams that have a late season bye. There's only two other teams that are going to have a bye next week. That's Cleveland and Tennessee. So they're coming off a bye. They're well rested. They're playing at home. They're playing in Houston. We're talking about the Chargers. 1-4 on the road. And they're going up against my Houston Texans, who are 5-0 at home. Haven't lost at home. In my opinion, this is a coin flip game. But let's talk about the San Diego Chargers. One of my favorite teams. Fantasy-wise, Houston is fourth against the quarterback, 25th against the running back, third against the wide receiver, fourth against the tight end position. So their weakness is defending the run, which, talking about the San Diego Chargers, one of their best players is Melvin Gordon. Yes, it's the same Melvin Gordon that I touted you guys early before the season started. That this is one of these guys that you want. This is a running back that you wanted to target. He's got 11 total touchdowns. That's right, Melvin Gordon, who didn't score one touchdown last year, as you fantasy football players know, has scored 11 total touchdowns. And has gotten better as the season's going on. And I expect him to get over the 100-yard mark, touchdown, and quite naturally in PPR, because he's using PPR too, to get about 3 or 4 catches, about 40 or 50 yards. I love Melvin Gordon in this matchup. Unfortunately, he's against my Houston Texans. Travis Benjamin is listed as questionable. He practiced fully all week and probably will play. That's going to take away from Tyrell Williams, who's been balling out. He has evolved into the number one wide receiver, and he did score. He did have 125 yards against the Dolphins last week. He's good for 60 yards and a touchdown for the last 6 weeks. Take away the two Bronco meetings where he didn't fare too well, and none of the wide receivers fared that well. Travis Williams is a very good play. I wouldn't say very good play. It's a flex play at best here. Like I said, the Houston Texans play wide receiver well. Phillip Rivers, if you don't have a better option, you got to play Phillip Rivers, but they're going to be pressuring Phillip Rivers. He's a statue in the pocket, doesn't move around. And so the pass rush of the Houston Texans, I think, are going to give Phillip Rivers a hard time. Antonio Gates, that's a no-brainer to me. He's been balling out. Hunter Henry is an afterthought now. He got hurt, And even before he got hurt, Antonio Gates was who had been nicked up earlier in the season. But week after week, he got healthier. And week after week, Philip Rivers, who they are both BFFs, net fantasy football players who have know that. Once Antonio Gates got healthy, that Hunter Henry would be not used as early and often as he was earlier in the season when Antonio Gates was nicked up. So Antonio Gates is a no-brainer to me. Now, going over to the Houston side of the field, San Diego's defense is 23rd against the quarterback, 28th against the running back, 19th against the wide receiver, and 11th against the tight end. But I'm telling you right now, Lamar Miller is a no-brainer. C.J. Fedorowicz is a no-brainer because as ineffective and as terrible, maybe not so much this past Monday night, Brock Osweiler has been. He only averages around 205 yards a week and never scores more than twice. So I think the touchdown in the air gets to C.J. Fedorowicz. If you have DeAndre Hopkins, if you have better options, you bench him. But I couldn't, in all good conscience, bench DeAndre Hopkins against this defense and have him go off and sitting on my bench gathering bench points and not points that count in my fantasy matchup. So you play DeAndre Hopkins and cross your fingers. Osweiler can get the ball enough to warrant DeAndre Hopkins being in your lineup. And hopefully, even though that the reps took it away, that DeAndre Hopkins can score again. And I say again because he had a touchdown and the reps took it away from him last week. Anyway. Let's move on to the next matchup, and that would be the San Francisco Giants going to South Beach to Miami to play in the super hot Miami Dolphins. 49ers, 1-9, 9-game losing streak, 0-4 on the road, Dolphins 6-4, 5-game winning streak, contending for a playoff position, and probably really looking forward to Colin Kaepernick and company visiting Florida. Dolphins are feeling very good about themselves. And the good player deficient 49ers are, I hate to say, just going through the motions, but at this point when they're 1-9, they've only won one game. They still get a good effort for Chip Kelly, and I do like Colin Kaepernick in here. Believe it or not, Colin Kaepernick has been balling out. Just look at his points. Ever since he jumped back into the starting position, Colin Kaepernick has been balling out, and I expect him to do the same thing here. You have to understand that even though his passing numbers aren't that high, he makes up for it in his running, and I think he's going to be doing some running here against the pass rush of the Miami Dolphins. So Colin Kaepernick, if you don't have Andrew Luck, if you couldn't pick up somebody that's better than Colin Kaepernick, don't fret. Put him in there because I think he's going to give you some good fantasy, close to 20 points in fantasy. That's what I'm saying Colin Kaepernick is going to give to you, which is fine, which is great for you. Who else do you play? Miami Dolphins, 11th against the quarterback, 6th against the running back, 18th against the wide receiver, 17th against the tight end position. If there's one person that Colin Kaepernick can get the ball to, it's Vance McDonald. If you're missing out on a tight end for whatever reason, Vance McDonald can make up for it. I'm not going to say he's going to give you Gronk type of numbers, but he's going to give you decent fantasy points. You don't want a zero. You want at least 5 or 6 fantasy points, and I think Vance McDonald can give you that. Even more valuable in PPR, quite naturally, but Vance McDonald can give you decent points. Not Jimmy Graham or Jordan Reed or Gronk type of numbers, but give you more than a zero. That sounds like a desperation play, but it is what it is. Otherwise than that, I can't really pick any of players from the 49ers. 49ers are 27th against the quarterback, 32nd against the running back, 31st against the running wide receiver, and 10th against the tight end position. They play the tight end position better than they play any other position in fantasy. I'm talking about the 49ers. Do I want to play Ryan Tannehill here? Again, if you don't have Andrew Luck and there's no viable play here, 27th against the quarterback position. So you can play Ryan Tannehill here. He's playing at home, so he's comfortable around his surroundings. Jay Ajayi, they're going to lead. Ever since Jay Ajayi has been inserted into the starting lineup, Miami's been hot. So they're going to ride that Jay Ajayi train until it falls off. Devontae Parker is a definite wide receiver too here. I like Devontae Parker a lot in here. Jarvis Landry, the PPR machine. I like Jarvis Landry in here. Their kicker. I think they're going to get into quite a few. In fact, both of these offenses, I think they're going to get in enough position to have the kicker viable and a weapon in fantasy for you. All right, let's move on to the next game where I think one of my number one picks. I didn't say he's going to have a breakout game, but he should have a better game. Okay? He was held out of practice. He's got a rookie quarterback against a defense. Even though they've been playing better, it's still 18th against the quarterback, 30th against the running back, 16th against the wide receiver, 16th against the tight end position. I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints and the L.A. Rams. Jared Goff. He ain't a play for me. Trust me, no way. They don't take the gloves off, let him throw downfield. The only play that I would say that Jared Goff would be in a passing would be Kenny Britt. A lot of short passes and maybe their tight end position, but you really can't count on Lance Kendricks. I like Todd Gurley a lot in this. Like I said, the New Orleans Saints, and quite naturally, the New Orleans Saints are going to stack the box, just like every other team, because they're rookie quarterback, and they saw the film of when L.A. played the Miami Dolphins, and Jared Goff, short passing game, not pushing the ball down the field. Now, this is a different type of defense. And so they may have a different mindset, but I don't like the offensive play calling of the L.A. Rams. And I've been watching a lot of the games that Los Angeles has been playing, even when they had Case Keenum in there. And I think the play calling is archaic, is not up to date and not innovative enough. And too predictable. And but I think because of the defense they're going against, Todd Gurley is maybe the only really viable play that's going to take advantage of that. On the other side of the ball, where do I stop? Not where do I start. Where do I stop? Okay? No-brainer. Playing at home, Drew Brees is good for over 300 yards at home. No-brainer. And at least 2 or 3 touchdowns at home. I know it's a good defense. I know L.A. is 7th against the quarterback, 9th against the running back, 11th against the wide receiver, and 6th against the tight end position in preventing fantasy points. But we're talking about Drew Brees. We're talking about the New Orleans Saints, and they're playing at home. And they ball out at home, regardless of the matchup. You saw what they did when Seattle came in, top defense. They ball out. Drew Brees against L.A., second game on the road for L.A. No, sorry about that. Not second game on the road, but they're going from the L.A. to Louisiana, and the Saints had a very bad loss last week, and 4-6 and fighting for their playoff life. They lost the last two, and only 2-3 at home, but L.A. can't compete with the firepower that the Saints have. So I like Drew Brees. Definitely, that's a no-brainer to me. No-brainer to me would be Brandon Cooks. No-brainer to me would be Michael Thomas. And a flex play, definitely strong flex play, and would be Willie Snead. And if you look at the numbers, and this is one player that really loves home cooking, other than Drew Brees and the rest of these, is the tight end. He's a definite good play here. Kobe Fleener. I know there's not a lot of good Kobe Fleener fans out there, and I'm one of them. But he is a definitely good play today to play Kobe Fleener. All right. Let's move on to Seattle at Tampa Bay. Seattle Seahawks are 7-2-1. And already they're three games ahead in the NFC West. Second best record in the NFC. 2-2-1 on the road. The Buccaneers are 5-5 on a two-game winning streak. But the problem is they're only 1-4 at home. 1-4 at home. Can you believe that? Perform better at home, at least a couple of games. They'd be 6-4. No, 7-3. Wow. I mean, each win makes a big difference. So this is what I like. Russell Wilson, he's healthy, balling out, 6 touchdowns over the last 3 games, and hasn't thrown for fewer than 270 yards. But his arm is speaking. His arm is speaking, and he's definitely a good play against this defense. That is 28th against the quarterback, 23rd against the running back, 29th against the wide receiver, and 21st against the tight end position. I'm talking about Tampa Bay's defense. Doug Baldwin, he's doing it again, people. He did it last year. Started balling out. It's just a heck of a coincidence that he balled out when Russell Wilson starts to do well also. And Jimmy Graham has been balling out all year and is a good play here. Okay. On the other side of the ball, Jameis has been balling out. I don't know how well he's going to do against this defense. He scored in every game this year. He was on a 4-game stretch where he had multiple scores, but the Chiefs put a halt to that. If you don't have a better option, Jameis is a good option here. I like Doug Martin because, you know, Seattle can be run on. That's if they have a weakness, even though it's top 12, they have a weakness. They're 8th against the quarterback, 11th against the running back, 5th against the wide receiver, and 8th against the tight end position. But with a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield also, Doug Martin is a no-brainer play for me today. Mike Evans is going to be the most heavily targeted. In fact, he's the most targeted wide receiver in the league and in fantasy. So he's a no-brainer, and I do like Cameron Brate in this offense to make a difference. All right, let's move on to the Kansas City at Denver. All right. Alex Spencer Ware, weakness of the Denver Broncos, 26th against the running back position, the top 10 in all other positions, top 5 in quarterback and wide receiver, and 7th against the tight end. Their weakness is the running back position, and Spencer Ware is a no-brainer play for me today. He's going to be the man. You know why? Because Jacrant Kendrick West is out. Jeremy Maclin is out. So it's going to be the Spencer Ware show and Travis Kelce and Tyreek to fill in the blanks. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to fill in the blanks. No Alex Smith, not in here. On the other side, no Trevor Siemian. I'm not a big Trevor Siemian fan, and I don't think this is going to be a Kansas City, 22nd quarterback, 15th running back, 26th running wide receiver, and 5th against the tight end position. Not the same Kansas City Chief defense he's been used to, but I don't think Trevor Siemian can make is a good viable play here. Even though Devontae Parker is definitely going to be, I think, going to show out. No brainer play. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are no brainer plays to me also, in whatever capacity he can fill them in. Carolina at Oakland. Cam Newton's no-brainer, even though he's not playing up to the MVP play that he had last year. You got Cam Newton. You're not going to sit him on a bench and say, oh, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Jonathan Stewart, probably not the best play. Probably you have no choice and you got to play him. Kelvin Benjamin is going to be used early and often, targeted early and often, against a defense that's 24th against the quarterback, 22nd against the running back, 22nd against the wide receiver, and 25th against the tight end position. What do I expect in this game? Play it in the mid to high 20s, and that means that there's going to be a lot of looks, and Greg Olsen is one of them, quite naturally. I do love Derek Carr in here. Carolina is absolutely horrible against the pass. And the 25th against the quarterback, 23rd against the running back. What they do defend well is the running back position where they're third. And they're 30th against the tight end position. They can be thrown on. So who do I like in here? Latavius Murray I do like in here. But the two wide receivers, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, who have proven to be wide receivers one for the most part all year, and Derek Carr, is a hell of a combination to put on the field and put into your fantasy lineups. We got about 45 seconds left in regular air play. Tune in next week. For most people, it's the last regular season for fantasy football. Be transitioning from the last week into playoff mode, and that's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the FSP Crew Show. I'll be hosting that along with my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker. And on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when the FSP show is alive and kicking with the host, Victor Gardner, and me being a co-host. Hopefully you catch one of the other two shows, and quite naturally, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be back here on next Sunday. We are going to be going into overtime at the 2-1. We are in an overtime now. And hopefully you stay with me because we have a few more games to go over. And hopefully you're still with me. All right, let's move on to the New York Jets hosting the New England Patriots, a division rival. These two teams do not like each other. The Gronk is questionable, but looks like he may play today. Tom Brady was dealing with a knee issue, but he definitely looks like he's going to play. I like against the New York Jets, who are 14th against the quarterback, 18th against the running back, 17th against the wide receiver, and 15th in the tight end position, preventing fantasy points. Throw them all out. Throw it all out. Throw it out. This is the New York Jets versus the Patriots. And like I said, these two teams do not like each other, and they got a long history of dislike. Tom Brady, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. No-brainer. LeGarrette Blount, no-brainer. He's probably one of your better options this week, not because you probably don't have anybody, if you want to sit LeGarrette Blount, which I wouldn't do, Julian Edelman and Martellus Bennett are decent plays here, but I really like and you don't know how much Gronk is going to play, but if he's in the lineup, you got to put him in there. Unfortunately, you got to put him in there. On the other side, the Jets, who are going up against a team that's 19th against the quarterback, 17th against the running back, 8th against the wide receiver, and 14th against the tight end position and preventing fantasy points in the New England Patriots. I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game. And I told you, you know, I'm not a fan of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Don't hate him at the person. I just don't think he's a good quarterback in the NFL. And history, other than last year, has proven that I am correct in that assessment. I do like Matt Forte in here. He's probably a no-brainer for me to play, along with Bilal Powell, especially Bilal Powell in PPR, because he's using PPR a lot. He's a better, even though Matt Forte does catch passes, he's a better, and he's a change of pace that he's used in the passing portion of the offense. But I do like Quincy Inunwa and Brandon Marshall to be, if not a flex play, a low-end wide receiver 2, high wide receiver 3 type of option. Because these guys, I think the Jets are going to be having. I think the Jets are going to have to throw the ball to try to be competitive in here, because I think the Patriots are going to try to rack up the points in here comfortably. And the last but not least, the Green Bay Packers visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. Green Bay has lost their last 4 games. Yeah, they lost the last 4 games, 1-4 on the road. And the Eagles are 5-5 and 4-0 at home, and have never scored fewer than 9 points. So what I say is going to happen here, I think this is a relatively high-scoring game. You play quite naturally. You got Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to sit him on the bench. No way. You play Davante Adams. Play Randall Cobb. And their go-to guy is Jordy Nelson. But you got to understand about the Philly defense. 9th against the quarterback. 10th against the running back. 15th against the wide receiver. And 3rd against the tight end position. This defense, especially at home, is no joke. So I would temper my expectations and temper the expectations of this offense going forward, especially into the fantasy playoffs. They have some weapons, but the defenses that they're going to go up against in the coming weeks, especially in the fantasy playoffs, and I'll get to this more in next week, are going to be tough. And their offense is struggling already. And then when they get to a defense like Seattle, I forget which week it is, but it's definitely in the playoffs. May be hard to say start Aaron Rodgers. Well, you're going to start Aaron Rodgers. But the wide receivers, you may be having to temper your expectations. But for this week, Jordy Nelson is a play. Randall Cobb is a play. Davante Adams is a play. In what level? Jordy Nelson's a wide receiver, a low-end wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2. Randall Cobb is a 3-4, along with Davante Adams. And you could also, he had a big game last week. You don't know if it's an anomaly or this is what you expect. But Jared Cook, who caught 6 passes for 100 yards and a touchdown last week in Washington, and that was his best game since 2011. Quite naturally, I don't think he's going to do that every week. But I think especially in PPR, I think he's going to be a double-digit type of tight end moving forward. When Aaron Rodgers had a athletic tight end like in JerMichael Finley, he used them quite a bit in the middle of the field, quick dump off passes to move the chains. So I think that Jared Cook, if he's healthy, not going to have the type of game he had last week against Washington, but he's going to have a decent game that in PPR especially, you'll get double digits. Maybe not a visit into the end zone, but double digits in PPR. All right, though, on the other side, Carson Wentz started off like on a house of fire. You know, to me, he's a play here. Green Bay's defense has been absolutely horrible. 21 against the quarterback, 13th against the running back, dead last against the wide receiver position, and 28th against the tight end. That means they can be passed on and run on. And Ryan Matthews is out. He's not going to be playing. It's going to be the Wendell Darren Sproles show. And both these guys, more Wendell, is probably an RB2 in this game, believe it or not, because he's going to be the featured back. He's probably an RB2 in here, with Darren Sproles being a flex, flex type of running back. But I do like Jordan Matthews big time, along with Zach Ertz in this game. And maybe a little, and yeah, this is probably a desperation play, because 3-4, maybe a 4-5, somewhere around there, Dorial Green-Beckham. That's what I'm talking about. All right, people, we have come to the end of the show. Boy, that went quick. It sure went quick, and I appreciate you hanging there in there with me and listening to what I had to say. Hopefully you've been using it and it's gotten to you a position that you're in the playoffs, you have a playoff position, or you're in a position in the next couple of weeks, week 12, 13, that with a win, and hopefully you get it, that you can get that playoff, you can get that win to get yourself into the playoffs. All you got to do is get in the playoffs. I don't care what record you have, whether you're 11-0, 10-1, 9-2, 8-3, 7-4, 6-5, 5-6, whatever your record may be, either on the positive or negative side of 500, that you're eligible to get in the playoffs. When you get in the playoffs, it's a different season. Just like in regular NFL, anytime you get into the playoffs, you're 0-0. Everybody's at 0-0. Anything can happen. The point is to get into the playoffs. It doesn't make a difference what your record is. Get into the playoffs. That's what I want you to do. That's what I'm striving for you to do, is to get in the playoffs. Got to be in it to win it. All right. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is when I'll be back next week. For most leagues, it's 13, the final week of the regular season. Man, this season is going past quick. Hopefully you enjoyed my what I had to say. And tune in next week, God willing. You know, I love fantasy football. I've always liked it, told you that. Really get into it. Really gear up starting in the summer. And leading quite naturally into the regular season. And then I'm a big football fan. This is my main sport. It's football and fantasy football. I really get into multiple leagues. Having a good year compared to last year, where I disappointed you in my picks and disappointed myself in not being able to really get into enough playoffs to make a difference. But this year, hopefully I helped you, and hopefully I've helped myself and listened to myself and be able to pick up some hardware, some trophies, or a championship, I should say. With that being said, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the games that are going to take place today and tonight and on Monday night. And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
I don't like it. I love it, love it, love it. Uh-oh. So good it hurts. I don't want it. I've gotta have it. Uh-oh. When I can't find the words, I just go.